Let us pray. As we prepare our homes for the holidays, let us also prepare our hearts. Let every decoration, card, and cookie be an act of readiness for your coming. God of love, help us prepare room for Christ to be born in this whole holy season. Speak the word to us. Make room in our hearts for love. Amen. A reading from Philippians. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, when Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, the ruler of the area of Trachonitis and Lysistra, and Licentius was the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to none of those guys, but John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went throughout the region around the Jordan proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it was written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of God, make a straight path for the Holy One. Valleys will be filled in, mountains and hills will be brought low, crooked places will be made straight, rough places will be made smooth, and everyone will see the salvation of God. The gospel of the beloved Jesus Christ. First time I ever came back home after living away, came back from California to Montana. I was in grad school and bought a plane ticket, which is not cheap for the airlines. Montana is the edge of the world. And made the arrangements, cleared my schedule, packed up that morning, took the subway over to the San Francisco airport, and flew to Montana, which in those days required changing planes 4 times. I'm not kidding. And each plane was smaller and older than the previous one. So by the time I landed in Montana, I was in this little 2-passenger biplane, this little... We made it. Little tiny plane. It was an epic journey. So I made it home. I walked in. My family greeted me. There was lots of noise and hugs all around. And we sat in the living room and we visited for a while. And then, one by one, all of my family members wandered off and got back busy with what they were busy with. I was all alone. So I took my duffel bag down to my room in the basement that was still my room, but because it was in the basement, it was a pretty handy place to stuff things that you don't know where else they go. So I walked in and there was all sorts of stuff on my bed and piled up in the room and all over the place. So I moved some stuff, some of the things I knew where they went, and some I made up a place and some I just moved aside so I had a place to sleep. And you know, over the next couple weeks when I was there, it felt like everybody sort of assumed that this is Steve and he's back home, so we'll just go on with life as usual. And nobody had actually expected me to come. Nobody had prepared for my coming. There was no space in my room. There was no space in their schedules. They just went on with all the stuff they were busy with until I left. It felt, I know they didn't exactly feel like this, but I felt sort of like my coming home wasn't all that important. I wonder if God feels that way. We pray to God. We ask God to come and be with us and help us and fix our problems and do all the stuff that we ask God to do. And then we go right on with our lives, making no change whatsoever. No adjustment. No change. As if we don't really expect anything different to happen. We don't make any room for God. We just plow right on. We sort of take God for granted, I think. God will be here. We can just go on with things the way we always have. We wouldn't have to change anything. But I think Luke sees John the Baptist out there in the wilderness and remembers those words from Isaiah, and they're words for us. Prepare the way. Prepare. There aren't very many of us that aren't a little bit preparing for Christmas. Maybe a couple decorations, a card here and there, a little extra baking, maybe something special coming, you get a gift for somebody. Very few of us just sort of wake up and think, oh, what do you know, it's Christmas. We see it coming. We do stuff about it. What do we do for God? I think Luke wants us to prepare the way. If you've ever cleared a path through the forest or a messy room, you know that preparing the way doesn't have a whole lot to do with adding things. It's mostly subtracting. It's mostly clearing out. Maybe what it means to prepare the way is just to make some room. Partly to make some room in our awareness of other people. You know, usually when we're interacting with other people, I have my agenda and they have their agenda, and we sort of find where we meet in the middle. But we don't often really make room for that person to be all of who they are. All of what they need, all of what they bring, all of their brokenness, all of their gifts, to really make enough room for that whole person to be there. We just sort of go on with our agenda and there they are. And they're very polite. We're all good at that. You just kind of pack up your deeper desires and your sacred longings, and we won't talk about that. So, what about those Patriots? We'll just kind of trivialize the conversation. We'll get by. We'll follow the agenda. Maybe Jesus wants us to make some room for people, to allow them to really be all of who they are. I imagine preparing a way means making some room in our schedules. I never really understood that till I went home and watched my family just be busy, and I thought, oh, this is what it's like to come to my house. It's not like anything. There's no space. Everybody's busy. I might as well be at the train station. I wonder if God doesn't feel like trying to get a word in edgewise. We need to just stop and be still and let God be present. So often I think when we think about the coming of Christ, we tend to think either about that romantic picture on our Christmas cards of the mother and the child and the manger and the star and the shepherds, and it looks like it's blue and it's nighttime, but it's probably 68 degrees. We've got kind of a nice, pretty little picture. We forget that they were homeless, that it was a barn, that they were a long way from anybody they knew, that they were about to become refugees, that the child's life was in danger. We forget that not-so-romantic part. Or we expect the second coming. Christ on a white horse with a sword or some sort of Star Warsian epic special effects explosions. Meanwhile, Jesus comes millions of times and we miss it. Jesus comes to me all the time and I'm too busy. Jesus kind of taps me on the shoulder. Excuse me, pardon me. And I'm too busy. I'm going too fast. Maybe part of what it means to prepare for the coming of Christ is just to stop. Just be still. Now, Christ won't come in all those big dramatic ways. In fact, we won't even know that it's happened. Because when we stop and we invite God into our lives, then we want to somehow feel like God is there. Right? When you're praying, you want to somehow feel like God is listening. You want somehow to understand that God is paying attention to us. But the problem is God isn't a feeling. God isn't an understanding. So the feelings and the understandings that we don't have are irrelevant. God is still there. What God needs is not our understanding. God just needs our stillness. It's like getting surgery. All you have to do is just lie still. And we're so incapable of doing that that the doctor has to knock us out. Just hold still. What would it be like if, as a community, every morning, every single one of us would stop, even just for 5 minutes, and just hold open a space for one another, for God? We have this Advent calendar that you can receive either by text or email. There's about 60 people who are getting it, not all of us. And the interesting thing is, I can see who opens up the email. About half of people do. The other half don't. Like, you know, you're too busy. It's 30 seconds. It's literally two sentences. But we're too busy. I get that way sometimes. Maybe God just wants us to prepare by committing a couple minutes in the morning. Usually when we wake up, what starts filtering into my head right away is what I have to do today. What came into our heads right away is, I need to wait. I need to hold still for God. Then I can do all that crazy stuff. And maybe that stuff won't be so crazy. If we hold open a space for God in our awareness of other people and in our awareness of our own inner journeys and actually physically hold still for a couple minutes to maintain that sacred space, my guess is the next thing we're going to discover is that God invites us to hold open a space in our minds, in our expectations. Our heads are so full of all our ideas and theories and opinions and appreciations and resentments and fears and memories and it's clutter. That's all the stuff that's on my bed that I can't sleep in till I move it out of the way. Maybe God wants us to just let it be. Just be. And let God be present in all that stuff. Just shove it aside and let God deal with that. We're just there, sitting side by side with God. Maybe that's how Jesus comes to us. And the more we hold that space, the more we prepare that kind of room for God, the more that room blossoms into our whole lives and they become more spacious. We have room for people. Room for people to need us or to share something important with us. Room for emergencies to happen and we can deal with it. Room for somebody else to have a need and we can handle it. Because we're not in extreme. We get accustomed to living spaciously. We've prepared a way. And then we become the way that God comes into the world. So let's prepare a way. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to start our prayer time with a good, long period of silence. Some of you will welcome that and settle into it. Some of you will get antsy and start doing origami with your bulletin. Some of you will sit there quietly and obediently, but inside your head, your brain will just kick into 13th gear and you'll be thinking about everything you could possibly think of. That's okay. Brains are built to do that. Just let those ideas go. Simply be aware that God is with you, coming into your life in a new way. Because it's our expectations that seem to close the door. St. Matthew's is in a peculiar time right now. We're in a time of transition. The whole 7.5 years I've been here, one of the things I've noticed is that we've really struggled to maintain the budget that we've tried to maintain. And the boat is slowly getting closer to the waterline. It's about 10 years overdue. We need to downsize. It's hard. We're attached to what we've been attached to. And for some people, it can feel like a threat or a disappointment. But it's just a change. And one of the things that Jesus is really good at is being with us in our changes so that we can go forward in a new way. As we open some space in our expectations for God, even the challenges come to us as opportunities to be with God in a new way and discover that Christ is in us in a new way. All we have to do is stay open. Keep listening to one another, to that Spirit deep within us, to the way that God moves among all of us together. And as we listen and prepare a way, sure enough, the rough places get smoothed out. The crooked things get straightened out. And we see the salvation of God. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your grace, for your continual coming in ways that we do not see, ways that we forget to listen for. Help us to live by trust and hope. Hope that's not optimism, but confidence in what we don't yet see. Help us to prepare a way. God, we give thanks that you prepare a place for us and hold open room in your heart for us. And so we give you thanks and pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.